Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. And have you read? There is such a difference in the Bible between 21st century American Christianity and what the Bible says it's supposed to be like. And one of the biggest problems is discipleship. And one of the biggest problems in discipleship is the early church understood things that have been lost. For instance, in the area of deliverance, the early church understood how to literally dismantle the anchors of demons so that they have no legal rights. So it's simple to cast these spirits out. And my guest, Mark Verkler, has been instructed by the Lord to put together a series called Prayers That Heal the Heart. It's 8 CDs, and there are 7 supernatural prayers, and then the last CD helps you cast the spirit out, which is easy once the demon's home is totally dismantled. And Mark, I am really overwhelmed at how complete your course is. I wish that every Christian, whether they're brand new, and preferably they would do this when they're brand new, or whether they've been a believer for 40 years, everyone should go through this. What is your experience?
Well, I totally agree. Everyone needs these prayers. And when I first went through them with Kay Cox, my first question was, I said, I think I'll ask find out from the prayer counselee which of these 7 prayers they need. And then after I'd prayed with a half a dozen people, I came to the realization everybody needs all 7. And so I stopped asking the question which one you need, and I said, guess what? You need all 7. And if by any chance you didn't need one of them, that means you wasted 5 minutes in prayer you didn't have to waste. But if it's better to cover all your bases rather than have something hanging around.
Well, let's go to the 3rd supernatural prayer for replacing negative beliefs and renouncing inner vows. What is that?
Well, it's a couple of prayers that actually go hand in hand. A negative belief would be an unbiblical belief, a belief that does not line up with Scripture. Like, for example, I believe that I'm probably going to fail. Okay, now that surely doesn't line up with Scripture. And if I believe that, I might make a promise to myself. I might promise and say, well, you know what? I'm not even going to try because I'm pretty sure I'm going to fail. So with every belief comes a vow. You might not be aware of the vow, but the vow in this case would be, I'm not going to try. Because if I try, I'm just going to suffer. I'm going to fail again and again, and I can't handle the emotional pressure. So I'm not going to try. And people say, well, I don't think I made a vow. And if I did make a vow, I have no idea what my vow would have been. And I say, well, look at your action. Because you believe you're going to fail, what action do you take? And they say, well, the action I take is I don't try anymore. I say, okay, then your vow was I'm not going to try. Because it's a root-fruit relationship. You look at a fruit in your life, trace it back to the root, and say, what is the root that's producing this fruit? And so we need to replace ungodly beliefs and inner vows with godly beliefs and godly purposes. Not a godly vow, because we don't really want to make a new vow. We want to say, I purpose by the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. So for example...
Well, I've heard of people that have made vows. Literally, I make a vow to do something. And it was an ungodly thing. It was before they were even a believer. And then I've heard of them saying, well, I break that vow in Jesus' name, but nothing changes.
Well, you know, this last weekend in a seminar I did, the lady I was praying with, she had battled with rejection and inferiority, feeling she wasn't worth anything. And she said she went to a seminar recently and got prayed for, and they prayed through a specific prayer, which happened to be one of these 7 prayers, and she said she felt a level of release, but it wasn't totally healed. And, you know, I said, well, you know what? You prayed one of the 7 prayers. Let's pray the other 6, because, you know, there's power. When one can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000. So I don't suggest anyone pray one prayer. I suggest they bundle them up, pray all 7, and if they do, they're going to find an intensity of release. Instead of just a partial release and a partial healing, they're going to find a complete release and a complete healing. So in this case here, you know, you got to believe I'm going to probably fail. So I'm not going to try. Well, if you journal about that and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me about my belief that I'm going to fail? He's going to come back and say, I have made your way prosperous. And so, well, that's a godly belief. It's a new railroad track to run on. Because beliefs are railroad tracks that govern my life. And so now I'm going to say, fine, my confession is God has made my way prosperous, and therefore my new purpose in the Holy Spirit is I'm going to step out in faith, believing that God is with me and believing he is prospering my way. So an ungodly belief and an inner vow repented of, Lord, I repent for believing I will fail. I repent for not the vow of not trying. And instead I replace this with a godly belief that you have made my way prosperous, and I choose to step out in faith, believing that you are with me.
You know, Mark, I love your section on replacing negative beliefs and renouncing inner vows. What about in the area of money, finances? Have you had any testimonies in that arena?
Well, probably all of us have our own personal testimony. One ungodly belief would be, I'm not going to have financial freedom in my life. I'm always going to be in want. There will never be enough to make it through.
You know, someone might not even verbalize that, but their life pattern is they're always in trouble financially.
Exactly. And again, you look at your fruit, and if the life says, I'm in trouble, then there's a root belief behind that. And in this case, the belief is probably, I believe money is secular, I believe money is evil, I believe I cannot earn enough. And so I'm going to have to vow something. So how about if I just vow that I'm going to equate poverty and godliness together, that it's spiritual to be poor and God doesn't care about money. And so now I got a railroad track. I'm running my life on an ungodly belief. And so now I need to come to God and say, God, what do you believe about money? What do you want me to say and believe about money? And I might journal. I might write down the question, Lord, what do you want to say? And then I fix my eyes on Jesus, tune to flow, and write down what he says back. And he may give me a scripture verse, or he may give me something else. But here's one of the things he's given me. He said, Mark, I have given you the power to make wealth in order that I might confirm the covenant with you. Now, that's a scripture verse from the Old Testament. And so I say, wow, the proof that you're in covenant with me is that you have given your children the power to create wealth. Well, then I'm going to have a new purpose in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to purpose to believe God for the power to make wealth. I'm going to purpose to believe God for financial prosperity and financial blessing. That is what I purpose, and I will not give up until that is the reality in my life, and that is what I see. I lend and I do not borrow. So now I have a new railroad track, a track of faith, a godly belief that replaced an ungodly track, which was a track of a negative belief.
You know, I've said this before, but what a difference it would make in someone's walk with the Lord if they had just known these seven areas of prayer and gotten set free of all these familiar spirits and spirits of infirmity and spirits of addiction. And look at all the nonsense they would have avoided in their walk with the Lord.
Well, I agree, Sid. And in my own life, God has corrected me on several ungodly beliefs. I used to say I have a B-level brain because when I was in college and high school, I got straight B's all the way through. So my belief and my confession and my vow was, I have a B-level brain. And when I prayed about it, God said, Mark, don't ever say that again. He said, now that you have the mind of Christ, you have a triple-A brain. You are brilliant. And you confess that. Say, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I am brilliant. And he said, get yourself out of the prison and box of unbiblical beliefs and come and believe what I believe about you.
How can two walk together unless they be agreed? It's good to agree with God.
Amen.
All right, Mark, let's go to another area, and that has to do with breaking negative words and word curses.
Word curses, yeah. You know, a lot of times the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And God spoke things into existence, and we speak things into existence. And if someone speaks a negative word, it can crush our spirits and crush us. And we can speak a negative word. Like I just gave you an example. I spoke a negative word. I have a B-level brain, and it crushed my ability to move forward and be all that God wanted for me. Sometimes people will say, you know, you can't take that job because that job won't provide an income for you. So even though you're an artist or a musician, I think you should go and take some other job. Well, that's a word curse. And if you believe it, if you let it soak into your spirit and you agree and say, yes, I cannot support myself as a musician, now this word curse controls you and rips from you your destiny in God. And that has to be broken in prayer. Say, I break the power of this word curse in the name of Jesus. It has no authority over me. I command it to fall to the ground powerless, and I confess the truth that God has spoken to me. And then you go in prayer and say, God, what is the truth you want me to confess? And you let him give you the new truth, and you speak that.
And I know that from previous times we've had you on the show, is you find that the discipline of believing God will say something to you and write it down shocks people. People that have never heard from God all of a sudden start hearing from God.
Well, exactly. You know, you just, when you're in prayer, just quiet yourself down, fix your eyes on Jesus, picture him right there with you, and say, Jesus, what do you want to say about this belief or this thing? And then you tune to his voice, which we define as spontaneous thoughts that light upon your mind, and you begin to write that flow of spontaneous thoughts, and you end up with a paragraph of God talking to you, and you bounce it off your spiritual advisors, make sure it's God, and then you run with it.
Okay, Mishpocha, I'm talking to Mark Verkler about his 8-CD set called Prayers That Heal the Heart. All of us have had wounds. All of us need to get free in these 7 very supernatural areas. I mean, what would happen if you were able to walk in a healed heart? These demons would have no access to you. They'd have no home. There would be a sign over you saying no rooms available. I mean, that's a wonderful way to live. You'll be free, and you'll help other people get free. We're making these 8 CDs available, title, Prayers That Heal the Heart, these 7 supernatural prayers, for a donation of $40. Call or write today for the 8 CD set, Prayers That Heal the Heart. Do it for yourself and then help others. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.